All right, Rabotai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Beis, and we are in Meretz Hashem picking up on Mem Beis as well. We made a nice little, some nice inroads onto Mem Beis and Aleph Baruch Hashem. Yesterday we are picking up 12 lines down from the top on Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Our share this morning is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Martyr in honor of Mr. Martyr's father's yahrzeit, Rifal ben Eliezer HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. Shkoyach, and thank you for the sponsorship. So we'll say, let's begin. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we are focusing on the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish and Reish Lakish regarding the interesting case about what happens in the event that you have an avodas kochavim, you have an idol, or you have an idol which broke on its own. So what we established yesterday is that an akum has the ability to be mevatel. He has the ability to go ahead and negate avodah zarah by actively smashing it. And we'll see, by the way, it doesn't have to even be fully smashing it. There are other ways to negate it as well, as we'll get into. But what happens, if the akum didn't smash it, but instead it broke by itself? Somebody accidentally knocked it over, or the wind knocked it over. So the shaila is, does that accidental breakage of the avodah zarah, does that go ahead and negate the idolatrous identity of that object or not? So Rabbi Yochanan says no. Reish Lakish says yes. Rabbi Yochanan says no, because at the end of the day, in order to negate the idolatrous identity of anything, you need active bittul. Reish Lakish says it does, because the Oved Avodah Zarah, the worshipper, says to himself, listen, if the idol can't save itself from falling over and breaking, then it's certainly what? It certainly can't save me. So that's the logic of Reish Lakish. So we'll say, ultimately, again, we're now dealing with a series of challenges posed by Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish. So Eisvei, Matzah Tavnis, Yah Tavnis Vegel. So we'll remember again, we saw in the previous Mishnah, a person finds the image of a foot, or the image of a hand, the image of a foot. Hare Elo Asurin, Bipnei Shikyotzi Bohen Ne'evad. Ultimately, again, I will say such an image will be usher, or such a tselem will be usher, because ultimately people go ahead and worship such things. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second, am I? Why should it be usher? Hashvara minhu. We'll say, bepashtos, a hand or a foot, this is considered to be a broken part of an idol. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Reish Lakish, if you're right, that shivrei, that Ovdei Kochavim Shenishtabra Me'eleha is going to be mutter, then ultimately, again, the hand or the foot should be mutter. To which the Gemara says, but you see that it's not. Therefore, Reish Lakish, you're wrong. To which the Gemara says, no. Hatir Gima Shmuel Ba'omdin Al-Basisan. We already dealt with that. Shmuel already explained this. That what are we talking about? We're talking about a hand or a foot which is mounted on a pedestal. So because it is mounted on a pedestal, by definition, again, it's obviously chashav, it's obviously important, and someone is obviously worshipping it. Eisvei, someone raises, Rabbi Yochanan raises another kasha, Oved kochavim, mevatel avodos kochavim shalo v'shal chaviro. We'll say an akum has the ability to go ahead and what? To negate the idolatrous identity of his avodas kochavim, or of the avodas kochavim of his friend. The Yisrael eino mevatel avodas kochavim shel oved kochavim. But I will say Yisrael does not have the ability to go ahead and negate the idolatrous identity of an avodas kochavim. Shabbos says an incredible yisod. We'll get into more of the mechanics of this. We're talking now in the realm of bittul. We're right across from Tosfos Shehetila Kimin Nefal. Literally right across there. So we'll say, the Gemara now says over here as follows. The Gemara quotes, or Rabbi Yochanan quotes the Braisa, that an akum has the ability to negate the identity of his idol. Right? Meaning he has the ability to go ahead and make it into a non-idolatrous entity, to negate the avodah zarah aspect. Right? He could do that for himself, and he could do it for his fellow Oved Kochavim. I will say, a Jew, however, cannot go ahead and be mevatel the avodas kochavim of an akum. Rabbi, why not? Why can't a Jew go ahead and simply negate the identity of the avodas kochavim of an akum? Let it just be like an ovid kochavim, like avodas kochavim that broke. Rabbi says, no. What's the case? Meaning, we'll say, what's the situation over here where the Jew is trying to go ahead and negate the avodah zarah? Shepascha. We'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Shepascha, hika aleha Yisrael bepatish. Avalo chisra klum hilchach lo batel. We'll say, what's the case? The case is where the Yisrael dented, the literally pascha literally means dented, the avodas chacham, the idol. So we'll say, as we'll see, if you want to negate an idol, you have to go ahead and somehow break it. If you just dent it, what happens if you dent it? All of the material is there. You just dented it. So I'll say if you dent it, then ultimately again, that's when you can't negate, that's when a Jew doesn't negate the identity of the Avodah Zarah. V'chi pascha mayhavi, but I don't understand if you go ahead and you dent it. So what good is that for Hatnan? Pascha afa pi shela batla chaseira. So what's this? Excuse me. Pascha afa pi shela chaseira batla. Yeah, we learned in the Brisa that what? That if you dented the idol, even though again the idol is not deficient in any way, that has the ability to be mevatel the idol. That's true. If an akum dented it, avah pascha yisrael lo batla. So we'll say when is the idol considered to be chaser? That's if the akum dented it. Then it's considered to be chaser, and therefore by definition it's considered to be batal. But we'll say if the yisrael dented it, that's not enough. Rava Amar Rava says the olam ki pascha yisrael nami batla. Rava disagrees and he says no. Even if the yisrael dents the idol, that is enough to be mevatel. The avodas kochavim. So what's the issue of here? Well, it's actually quite interesting. El gzeira dilma magbale la v'hadar mevatule. Well, say the issue over here is that we are concerned that maybe. So let's take a step back. Here's what Rava says: Maker adin when a Jew dents the idol, so that is a bittul. That negates the idolatrous identity of the idol. So what are we concerned about? Why did we just say that if the Jew dents it, it's not enough, and the idol is not batel? Because we'll say, what are we concerned about? That maybe the Jew is going to go ahead and lift up the idol. Remember, hagbah is one of the forms of kinyan. Maybe the Jew is going to lift up and acquire the idol. And I will say, as we're going to see, once a Jew owns an idol, so in order to be mevatel that idol, so in order to negate the idolatrous identity of that idol, the stakes are much higher. In other words, it is much more difficult, and we'll discuss this in greater depth later, but it is much more difficult to negate idolatry owned by a Jew than to negate idolatry owned by a non-Jew. So I will say, Rava says what we're concerned about over here is that although the Yisrael is going to lift up the idol, acquire the idol, and when he acquires the idol, what's going to happen? A simple denting of the idol will no longer suffice. As we're going to see, when a Jew owns an idol, Rabbi said, the only way to negate the idolatrous identity of that entity is to go ahead and destroy it. Simple denting it is not going to be enough. Elixir dilma magbala v'hadra mevatelei. Both say the concern is going to be that maybe Yisrael will pick it up, acquire it, and then only afterwards will he try to be mevatel it. And it'll turn out that it's idolatry in the hands of a Jew. And I will say any avodas kochavim in the hand of a Jew is never batel. Is never batel. Now we'll discuss this in Mirat Hashem in a couple of days, but it's never batel. I'll say, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "V'rava amar the olam ki pascha Yisrael nami havi bittel ma'alya." So we'll say, so therefore again, according to Rava, me'ikar adin, if Yisrael goes ahead and dents an idol, so that is enough to negate the idolatrous identity. I'll say, obviously the idea of denting the idol means you no longer worship this. So me'ikar adin, that should be enough. Ella, look at Rashi. Rabbanan Gazer, the whole bitul Yisrael, lav bitul, gazera dama magbele, vikanile bagba, the whole dover hefker kigon mitzia niknis bagba. So why do we say that the denting of Yisrael is not enough? Out of a concern that maybe the Yisrael is going to lift up the idol, go ahead and acquire it, and once he acquires it, denting will no longer be enough. Rather, again, because the avodah zarah of the Yisrael is ein abateila the olam. So we'll say, if it's ein abateila the olam, so what do you do with it? Look at Rashi. Ein la abateila olamis, uta'una geniza, kediafinan mivisam b'seis. So we'll see that the avodah zarah of an akum ultimately, again, requires geniza, requires hiding away. Excuse me, the avodah zarah of Yisrael requires some type of geniza, some type of storing away of the avodah zarah. Okay, Eisvei. So we'll say again, remember, we're still locked in the same machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Say Eisvei, Rabbi Yochanan raises another kasha. Akum shehevi avonah min amarkolis. So we'll listen to this. if an Akum brought stones from Markalis, so also remember again, Markalis, remember from our Sanhedrin days, Markalis is an Avodah Zarah, that was a pile of stones. So if you can imagine for just a moment, the Akum goes ahead and removes stones from his Markalis, and what happens? So the Gemara says, V'chipa bahen drachim v'tartios. And he goes and he takes those stones, and he uses them to pave a road or a highway. So literally, the Akum took the stones from his Avodah Zarah, used it to pave a road or a highway. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Mutaros. So the Jew is permitted to go ahead and use that highway. Right? Why? That road? Because again, I will say, the fact that the Akum took the stones, built it into the road, tells us that what? That he was mevatel his Avodah Zarah. He was mevatel it. Rashi says, Mutaros, Shari Bitla Ovigocham Shesasalagal. So the Gemara says, the Yisrael Shevi Avarim in Amarkalis. But both listen to this. If Yisrael took stones from Amarkalis, V'chipa Bahem Drachim V'tartios, and he went ahead and he used it to pave roads or highways, Asuros. Ultimately, again, Rabosai, you cannot go ahead and traverse that road. Ultimately, again, because it's still considered to be use of Avodah Zarah. So asks Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, Amai, Reish Lakish, if you are correct, that when you have Avodah Zarah that's been broken, it automatically becomes Mutar Ba'anah, Tehevi Kavodas Kochavim Shinishtabra Me'eleho. Let this be like a case of Avodah Zarah that broke on its own, and therefore ultimately again should be permitted. To which the Gemara says, to which Reish Lakish responds again, Hachinami, Kidu Rava. It will say, ultimately, again, this will be, again, like Rava. Also, what does it mean, like Rava? Remember, Rava's general concern is that a Jew is going to pick up the Avodah Zarah, have in mind to acquire it, and then what, Rava will say? Then he'll decide to go ahead and build it into the highway. Or then he'll decide to go ahead and destroy it, or dent it. So we'll say, what's the issue? The issue is that if Yisrael goes ahead and simply dents it like we saw before, or even goes ahead and builds it into the highway or the road, that's fine. That negates the identity of the idol. The concern we have is, if he lifts it up and he acquires it, once it is Avodah Zarah owned by a Jew, so we're both saying the stakes are much higher. Again, Rashi pointed this out. We're going to get to this on Nun Beis. So you don't have 10 blatt, we learn the sugya, but Avodah Zarah owned by a Jew is much more chamer. The laws are much stricter than Avodah Zarah owned by an Akum. Next, Esvei. Oved Kochavim Sheshif Avodas Kochavim Lezarcho. Supposed to listen to this next case. So an Oved Kochavim, remember, this is still Rabbi Yochanan asking Reish Lakish. An Oved Kochavim, Sheshif Avodas Kochavim Lezarcho, means that ultimately he went ahead and he shaved down the Avodas Kochavim for his own benefit. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Litzarcho, Shetzarach la-shefoyim la-hasik b'shviyah. So we'll listen to a simple case. We'll call him, the Akum has an Asherah tree. So what does he do? He cuts down some branches from the Asherah tree. For what purpose? He wants to cook dinner, right? He's heating up his stove. So he's taking the branches from the Asherah tree for his own benefit, Litzarcho. So we'll say, what's the halacha? He, v'shifu yeha mutarin. Ultimately, again, we'll say, so listen to this. Both the tree, as well as the branches which were cut off, are now mutter for usage. I will say why. Because the act of cutting branches off the Asherah tree for the purpose of the Akum's own benefit, I will say, demonstrates that what? That he's being mevatel the Avodas Kochavim. That he's being mevatel the idolatrous identity of the Asherah tree. Therefore, by definition, if an Akum is mevatel, his Avodah Zarah becomes permitted by Ano. So therefore, the Asherah tree, as well as the branches which are cut off, now become mutar. However, litzarcha, hi asura v'shifu yeha mutarin. Both listen to this. If ultimately, again, if he prunes, let's say he prunes the Asherah tree, so he cuts off some branches, but he's cutting off branches for what purpose? He's cutting off branches for the benefit of the tree. He's trying to benefit the tree. Then what? He has surah, so we'll say ultimately again the tree will still be prohibited as Avodah Zarah. But v'shifu yaha mutarin. But that which you went ahead and you cut off, ultimately again will be mutar. And Rashi points out of here, because Rabbosai, the Akum does not worship those branches which were cut off. right? Those branches themselves are usually just discarded or used for some type of mundane use. Therefore, they're not avodah zara. The Yisrael, on the other hand, also when it comes to a Jew, the Yisrael sheshiv avodas kochavim. But if the Yisrael, let's say, I'm just using the Asherah tree as the example, the Yisrael prunes the cuts off the branches from the Asherah tree. Bein letzarcho, he vushifu yeha asurim. So we'll say, but if a Yisrael cuts off the branches from an Asherah tree, whether he cut off the branches for his own use, whether he cut off the branches to prune the tree, ultimately, again, both the tree as well as the branches will be asur. The Gemara says, "Am I?" So Rabbi Yochanan, this, remember, this is Rabbi Yochanan asking in Reish Lakish. Why is that? Am I? Tehavi ka'avodos ko'uchavim shenishtabra me'elel. Reish Lakish, if you're right, this should be just like a case of an idol that breaks on its own. And Reish Lakish, you said that when the idol breaks on its own, by definition, its idolatrous identity is negated. So by definition, again, this should be mutter as well. The branches should also be mutter. To which the Gemara answers again, I will say, halcha nami kidirava. So we'll say the Gemara answers again that the concern over here is the concern of Rava, which is what Rava was saying, that the Jew may come to lift up the branches, acquire it, as avodah zara. And the problem is that once it becomes avodah zara owned by a Jew, then by definition, the process or the mechanism for avodah zara negation is much more complicated. Esve, another kasha, Rabbi Yossi Omer, shochek v'zora l'ruach. Umatil, so we'll say, we're talking about over here, if let's say I go ahead and I find an idol, I find an avodah zara made from metal. So we'll say, so what do you do if you find an idol of metal? Shochek, you grind it down. Vizore l'ruach, you go ahead and you scatter it in the wind. So you grind it down, scatter it in the wind. Umatiliam, or you throw it into the sea. Amrulo, afhina says zevel. But one second, if you grind it up and you scatter it to the wind, it becomes fertilizer. So ultimately again, and the pasuk says, you can't have any connection ultimately with avodah zara. So even grinding it up and throwing it to the wind, why should that be okay? To which the Gemara says, which Rabbi Yochanan again asks on Reish Lakish, but I don't understand. What's the big deal? Am I? The heavy kavodos kochavim shenishtabra me'elel. The Rebbe said this should just be a case of idolatry that which broke on its own. Hachana, and therefore again it should be permitted. Hachan, it means Rabbi Yochanan is saying to Reish Lakish, if you are correct, this should be like avodah zara which broke on its own and therefore should be permitted. Hachana mikidirava, to which the Gemara says again, the issue over here is the one of Rava, the concern of Rava, that ultimately the Yisrael may pick it up with the intention to acquire it, thereby was like heightening the threshold for avodah zara negation. Esei, Rabbi Yossi ben Yisian Omer. So Esei, in reason of the kasha, Rabbi Yossi ben Yisian Omer, Matzah tzuras darkon, verosha chatoch. Let's listen to this. If you find the image of darkon, I will say darkon is a dragon. You find an image of a dragon, verosha chatoch, and its head is cut off. Safek obey kochavim chatcho, safek Yisrael chatcho. So we'll say, I'm not sure, did the obey kochavim remove the head of the dragon? Did the Yisrael remove the head of the dragon? So we'll say, what's the halacha? Mutter. Mutter. So therefore, we'll go say again, we could be, Rashi says, mutter, it's the last of the short lines in Rashi. The talinon ba'ovid kohavim, the svek svekohu, v'shemelo nevad miolam. So we'll say, remember again, in this case you have a svek sveka. What's a svek sveka? Suffolk number one, that it was ever worshipped to begin with. And if it was worshipped, second suffolk is that maybe its head was cut off by an akum. So because, and again, if the head was cut off by an akum, then obviously what? Then obviously, again, that negates the avodah zara. So because of a svek sveka, so the headless dragon will be mutter. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Vada Yisrael chatcho aser. But if Yisrael is the one who cut off the head, then ultimately again, the headless dragon will be aser. Am I? But why is this? Tehevi kavodos kochavim shenishtabra me'elel. We'll say, so again, asks Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, why should this be any worse than a case of avodah zara that breaks by itself, which according to you, Reish Lakish, is mutter. Hachanami kidirava. So we'll say, again, we keep going back to the same thing. Rava, Rava, Rava. All of this is this ongoing concern that what? That maybe the Yisrael, when he first picks it up, has in mind to acquire it. And if he picks it up with the intention to acquire it, we'll say, then what? Then the process for avodah zara negation becomes much more complicated. Esve was another kasha. Rabbi Yossi Omer Aflo Yurakos Bimosa Gishamim Mipnei Shanavia No Sheres Alehen. So this is actually an interesting case. Look at Rashi for just a moment. First white line on the bottom of Rashi. Aflo Yurakos Masnisin Kartoni Zorin Tachta Shalasher Yurakos Bimosa Gishamim Shatzel Kasha. So let's listen to this case. I want to plant vegetables underneath the Asherah tree. What's the issue? The issue is benefiting from the shade of the Asherah tree. So the Gemara, so Rashi says as follows, that the Mishnah tells me that I could plant vegetables underneath the Asherah tree, Bimosa Gisham means during the rainy season. Why? Because during the rainy season, the shade is actually detrimental. So I'm deriving no benefit from the Asherah tree. However, listen to this. So the halacha is, I can go ahead and plant vegetables underneath the Asherah tree during the rainy season, because then there is no benefit from the shade. But I cannot go ahead and plant vegetables underneath the Asherah tree during the summer, because then there is benefit from the shade, and I am benefiting from Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says as follows. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af lo yurakos bimei gishamim. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't even plant vegetables underneath the Asherah tree during the rainy season. Why? Mipnei shehanevia no sheres alehen. Why, Rabbi Yossi? Because the leaves of the tree fall on the vegetables, and what happens? It fertilizes it. Rashi says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af lo yurakos bimei gishamim. Lefi shehanevia no sheres al yurakos. The leaves fall on the vegetables. Vahavit lezevel. And ultimately, again, it becomes fertilizer. And it turns out then that the owner of the vegetables is benefiting from the Asherah tree. So the Gemara says as follows. So Amai, so Rabbi Yochanan asks on Reish Lakish, Amai, why should this be problematic? This should be like the case of an idol that broke on its own. Or as well saying, are you, according to you, Reish Lakish, an idol that breaks on its own is totally permitted for usage? To which the Gemara says, Shani Hasam, the Iker Avodas Kochavim Kayemes. You can't call this a case of an idol that broke. Why? Because the Iker Avodah Zarah is intact. What's the Iker Avodah Zarah, Bosai? Is the tree itself. See, even though the leaf fell off, the tree itself is intact. Look at Rashi just before you turn the page. Last Rashi, the kavodos kochavim kayemes ha'ilan lo batal. So we'll say, because the tree itself is not batal, the Asherah tree is still standing, therefore hilchach nevi'an the sheres min asura. So we'll say, when the ikar avodah zarah is still intact, so the derivative pieces will still be asura as well. Therefore, the leaf will still be an issue, ultimately, again, of avodah zarah. Amadeis, we'll say membeis, but 1 second. Vaha, Shipuyon de Ikar Avodas Kochavim Kaimis Katana Litzar. So we'll say, but 1 second. What did we just learn before? We just learned before that what? That I will say, if you go ahead and you pruned the Asherah tree. So what did we just say? I will say, that's what it means, Shipuyon. Right? Shipuyon means you prune the tree. So what's the status of those branches you took off? So that's a case where, again, the Ikar Avodas Kochavim Kayemes, the major part of the Avodah Zarah, i.e., the tree, is still intact. V'katani litzarcha hi asura v'shipuyah mutar. And yet, what did we say? That if you go ahead and what? You did it for the purpose, for the benefit of the tree, then what? The tree still remains prohibited, but the branches are permitted. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here a case that even when the ikar avodah zarah ultimately is what? Is intact, that which you remove from it for your benefit ultimately is going to be permitted. So we'll say, see, you understand the contrast over here? Meaning, we seem to have two contradictory cases. We just said before that if you prune the Asherah tree, and let's say again, I'm pruning it, pruning is the wrong word. I'm pruning the Asherah tree, which means I'm trying to benefit the tree itself. So what's the halacha, Bosai? The halacha is the tree is still aser, right? But the branches that are taken off, this is talking about if an akum does it, the branches are permitted. So I'll say there's a case where even though the ikar avodah zarah is intact, that which you remove from the ikar avodah zarah will be mutar. Yet contrast that with the leaf case. We just said before that if I planted vegetables underneath the Asherah tree, and what? The leaves fall off of the tree, fall onto my vegetables, thereby fertilizing my vegetables. What's the halacha? It's asur. So I don't understand why, in the case of the branches, are the branches permitted once I remove them? Yet, in the case of the leaves are still prohibited even if that, even after they fall off the tree. To which the Gemara says, Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yoshua Amar, Lefi She'in Avodas Kochavim Betela Derech Gidilasa. Oh, we'll say, to which Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yoshua says, I'll tell you why. Because Avodah Zarah cannot become batal, essentially, in its normal manner of growth. We'll say, what does that mean? What it means is, it is normal for leaves to fall off trees. So because it's normal for leaves to fall off trees, by definition, even when they fall off, they still have the status of the tree. Therefore, by definition, when that leaf of the Asherah falls onto the vegetable, that is a piece of Asherah falling onto the vegetable, and therefore, again, I, the owner of the vegetables, am being nana from Avodah Zarah. Masha'inkein, when the branches are actively removed from the tree, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, again, that is considered to be something that is detached, actively detached from Avodah Zarah, and therefore loses the Avodah Zarah identity. Take a look at the Dab Rashi. Derech Gidilasa, Zed Darka, Kala Shana Lahashir Alad. We'll say it is the normal course of the tree to go ahead and shed its leaves throughout the year. Ulagad Lachirim, and to grow others. Aval Shafan Ovid Kochavim Daito Levatan Alashlichon. But we'll say this is different than when the Ovid Kochavim himself actively removes the branches from the tree. So we'll say, fine. So up until now, we have been focusing on Rabbi Yochanan challenging Reish Lakish's position. Right? Remember, their fundamental machlokis is, what is the status of Avodah Zarah, which has broken on its own? So the idol is standing, the wind comes by, blows it over, it smashes into pieces. Are the shards going to be permitted or not? Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The only way to negate Avodah Zarah is through active negation. Reish Lakish says, no. Even if it's negated by some type of passive situation or by non-action, by inaction, that's going to be evacuated as well. So up until now, we have been focusing ultimately again on a series of questions posed from Yochanan to Reish Lakish. Now we're switching the tables. Rabbi Yochanan, Eisvei, Rabbi Shimon Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Then Rabbi Osei Reish Lakish poses a kasha to Rabbi Yochanan. Kan Shebarosh Ha'ilan Shel Hekdesh. Let's listen to this case. You have a bird's nest at the top of a hektish tree. So the tree itself, Rabosai, is hektish, and I have a bird's nest on top of it. So now, what's the shayla? Before I get to the shayla, the statement, lo nanin v'lo mo'alin. We'll say, ultimately, again, you're not permitted to get any kind of benefit from the nest, but if you did, it's not mi'ila. It's not mi'ila. So Rashi points out over here, lo nanin, the asim midrabanon, you can't get benefit midrabanon, v'lo mo'alin, so we'll say, but yet if I did mi'ila, if I benefit from it, I am not in violation of mi'ila. Okay, mi'ila means, remember, mundane usage of consecrated property. So the Gemara says, however, berosha shel asherah, let's say the bird's nest is on top of an asherah tree, then I will say, what's talocha? Yatiz bakana. What you should do is, you should go ahead and push the nest off the top of the tree with a stick. Look at Rashi, yatiz bakana. Yashlich atzei akana b'makel min ha'ilon v'yisrafena v'yena mehem v'lo ya'ala ala asherah v'yitling d'imkein imtza mishtamish b'asherah makum sulam v'zoi ha'na'a mimena min ha'asherah. Well, listen to this. So what does the Gemara say? So if the nest is on top of a hektish tree, it's aser b'ana, you shouldn't get any benefit from it, but if you did, you're not in violation of mi'ila. So it's aser midrabanon. If the nest is on top of an asherah tree, then what? You can't climb the tree to get the nest. Why can't you climb the tree to get the nest? Because climbing the tree is considered to be hana from the tree. But what can you do? You could take a stake and you could push the nest off the top. In other words, get the nest off the top of the tree, and then you could benefit from the nest. To which the Gemara says, one second, what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, So we're making the assumption over here. Kasaka daitcha kegon sheshavra mimenu etzim v'kinsabayim. Now, we'll say, now, at first glance, we're assuming that where is this nest from? So right now, we're assuming that the bird made the nest from the twigs of the tree in which the nest is situated. So therefore, I'll say, in case number one, the bird is making the nest from the twigs of a hektish tree. And in case number two, the bird is making the nest from the twigs of the Asherah tree. Yet, interestingly enough, the Katani, Yat is bakana. Yet, what we'll say, interestingly enough, Yet we learned that you could go ahead and get benefits from the nest and the Asherah tree, which of course is a little bit strange, because the mice say, again, that nest is coming from the Asherah tree itself. To which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? Well, so the case over here is where the bird's nest was made from a different tree. See, even though the bird's nest is perched in the hectic tree in the Asherah tree, the nest itself was actually made from twigs from a different tree. Dekonami diktani. Well, so where do I know this from? So we can, this is an explicit diuk. Dekonami diktani gabi hektish lo nanin v'lo mo'olim. Because just remember again, what did the Mishnah say by the case of the hektish tree? The case of the Mishnah said that you cannot go, you should not get benefit from the nest, but if you did so, what? It's not me'ila. See, amrit bishlama da'aisi itzimi alma. See, if you say we're talking about a case where the bird made the nest from wood from another tree. Hainu. Diktani gabi hekdish lo nenin v'lo mo'alin. Then I understand why the Mishnah says that lo nenin, ideally you shouldn't get hano, but ultimately again, but there's no me'ila either. Lo nenin midirabanan. So we'll say what it means is, midirabanan, we tell you, you know what, leave that nest alone. We'll say, why do we tell midirabanan to leave the nest alone? Because at the end of the day, it is perched in a hektish tree. So if possible, we tell you, just leave it alone. Better just not to get involved in it. But if you went ahead and you did get benefit from the nest, Rabbi say, if at the end of the day you did go ahead and get benefit from it, it's fine. You're not in violation of any kind of biblical me'ila. Why not? Because the mice, again, it's not kodesh. Elo, I amr cheshavra itzim imeno v'kinsa b'hem. But if you want to say that we're talking about a case of a bird which made the nest from the actual wood of the tree in which the nest is situated, so in this case, I will say, if you're telling me that the bird's nest was made from what? From an actual hektish tree, am I lomolin? Then I will say, if I do in fact go ahead and get benefit from the nest, then the mice again, why would it not be mi'ila? In other words, I will say, that halacha mice again, that is mi'ila. Ha-kadishi, ultimately again, it's hektish. To which the Gemara says, media area, hacha bigidulin haboin la'achem ikanaskinon, v'kasavar ein me'ila bigidulin. Well, so listen to this. So the Gemara says, oh, it could be, I will say, that even if you're dealing with a tree, that's hagdish, or say differently, even if we're dealing with a nest that was made from the tree itself that was hektish, there could be another machlokes at play over here. Well, say, what's the other machlokes at play? This is actually a fascinating machlokes, which is, if you're makdish a tree, I go ahead and I say the tree is hektish. So I will say, what's the So the tree as it is right now is kodesh. We'll say, what about that which grows from the tree after the kodesh designation, after the hektish designation? Are those additional growths considered to be hektish or not? So I will say that in and of itself is an incredible machlokes. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says the begidulin habo'in. So also listen to this. So this braisa also that we're quoting is of the opinion that lemaisa what? That halacha lemaisa, when you're makdish a tree, it is only that which exists on the tree at the time of your hekdish that is usur. Anything that grows afterwards, in fact, is going to be mutter. So for example, if the bird were to go ahead and construct the nest from branches which grew after the hektish designation, then what Rabbi say? Such a nest is mutter midoraisa, but yet it is going to be aser midirabanan. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, "V'Rabbi Avo, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my yatis." So we'll say, "Rabbi Avo, something Rabbi Yochanan." No, what does it mean when we say that you should go ahead and push the nest off the tree to go ahead and get benefit from the nest? Yatis be'efrochim. We'll say what it means is what you can get benefit from the chicks. It's not talking about getting benefit from the nest itself, rather assume I'm getting benefit from the birds. And I will say, everybody would agree that what? That would be permitted. I could explain this to you, be'efrochen. So we'll say, I would explain this case, Rashi says over here, ultimately again, dealing with the chicks. Kan v'kan mutarin. So we'll say, ultimately again, in both cases, if you're dealing with the chicks, both in the case of the tree of Hekdish and the tree of Avodah Zorah, so we'll say the chicks will be mutar. Rashi says, kan v'kan, bein behekdish, bein mashir mutarin, Then speak in the Elon. So Rabbi said, listen to this. We assume over here that Efrokin, Rabbi Osai, are chicks that are able to fly. So because they're able to fly, they don't need the tree. Because they don't need the tree, ultimately, again, I am permitted to get benefits from them. However, again, Bebeitzim, if we're talking about getting benefit from the eggs in the nest, Kanvekanasur. Then Rabbi Osai, ultimately, again, the eggs will be prohibited from benefits. Why? Because Rabbi Osai, the eggs are reliant on the tree. The eggs require the nest, which ultimately is supported by the tree. But if the chicks require their mother, then kibetin damu, then they ultimately again have the status of eggs, and therefore Rabbi Osai will be aser. In the case of the Asherah tree midaraisa, and apparently in the case of the Hektah tree midrabanan. So Rabbi Osai, as we close out this sugya, just so you understand, from the top, pretty much from the top of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, pretty much until this Mishnah, we have been focused almost for more than a blot of Gemara on this one machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Shimon ben Lakish. The machlokis of Avodas Kochavim Shinishtabra Me'elau. If Avodah Zarah, if idolatry broke on its own, does that breakage negate the idolatrous identity of the entity? Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it is still Aser, which again, Rabbi Yochanan's logic is because in order to negate idolatrous entity, you need active negation. Reish Lakish says, no, it's permitted, because the person says, if the idol can't save itself from breakage, then what? Then what? Certainly can't save me. And Rabbi Yochanan says, this whole dispute has been in order. So what's the bottom line? How do we paskin? So the Rambam paskin is like Rabbi Yochanan. That halacha lemaisa, again, the only way to negate Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yochanan, is through active negation. Active negation. But if the Avodah Zarah breaks on its own, this does not negate the idolatrous identity of the entity. And therefore, again, the shards or the pieces will still be asr b'hanah. Good. Weiter. Says the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Amotzi Kalim, Valeim Tzuras Chama V'Tzuras Lavana. So also listen to this. A person finds a utensil, right? A kli, and on that kli is the image of the sun, the image of the moon, Tzuras Dark on the image of a dragon. So we'll say, we assume that all of this is Avodah Zarah. And therefore what? Yolichim Yam HaMelech. You have to take the utensil, and literally, again, you throw it into Yam HaMelech, right? You have to throw it into the sea. In other words, you have to totally dispose of it. Rishim Gamil says, Shalom Mechubadin Asurin, Shalom Mevuzin Asmutarim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, it depends. Rishim Gamil says, it depends. What does it depend on? It depends what type of utensil you find the image on. If you find the image on a nice utensil, then by definition, we assume it's Avodah Zarah and has to be discarded. If you find it on a utensil, which I will say is mavuzin, which is what's the right word? Something more mavuzin is disgraceful, right? I'm sorry. Well, not lavdafka disposable, as we'll see, but disgraceful, right? In other words, something that's not michubad, something that is not an honorable or significant utensil, really means significant. So I'll say, if it's an insignificant utensil, then by definition it's mutter. To which the Gemara says, lameimra, to the hanihu de palchi luhu, the midi achrini lo. So you're telling me then that people only worship these type of images, the sun, the moon, the dragon, and nothing else, or mini, areiz akasha. Ashokhet, Lushum, Lushum Yamim, Lushum Naros, Lushum Midbar, Lushum Chama, Lushum Levana, Lushum Kochavim Lamazal. So, if a person goes ahead and slaughters an animal, Lushum to the, so say, Shum means to the Sar, right? To ultimately, again, the master. To the master of the oceans, to the rivers, the master of the midbar, the desert, the shumchama, the master of the sun. So a person is making all of these things into gods. To the master of the moon, to the master of the stars, to the master of the mazalos, to the shum michal sar hagadol. Or he says, I'm worshipping, I'm shechting this animal for michal. What's that? So instead of looking at Michal as one of the angels of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he begins to look at Michal as God. L'shum shil shul katan. Or I will say, again, I worship some small worm. Hare elu zivchei mesim. So we'll say, what do you see from here? See, the poor people worship a lot of stuff. See, the Mishnah makes it sound like they're just worshiping the sun, the moon, and the dragon. But you see from here that people worship a lot of different things. Rabbaye, miflach l'kol. Miflach l'kol d'mashkichi palchi. So we'll say, Enoch Inami Abayi says, people daven to a lot of different things. People pray to a lot of different things. But, Meitzar umiflachi, honey tlasa de chashivi, sari, sairi luhu palchi luhu. So we'll say, but in terms of actually like putting images on utensils, so that which people pray to a lot of different gods. But, in terms of things that people go ahead and make images of and then pray to, so the Gemara says, so we'll say ultimately again, Meitzar umiflechi, we'll say, but to go ahead and make an image and to dive into something, these three things, we'll say, the sun, the moon, and the dragon, which are important, people put on utensils, bless you, and go ahead and pray to lemidi achrini, we'll say, for other types of images, lenoi ba'ama avdiluhu. People just do it for decorative purposes, but ultimately, again, not for theological purposes. Mankit Rav Sheshes. Chumri Masnisin V'tani. So I'll say, ultimately, again, Rav Sheshes came along. Look, if you look at Rashi for just a moment. Mankit Chumri. Melakit Mishnayos Sachamurus Latartzan V'orm Beis HaMedrash. So Rav Sheshes would often collect difficult Mishnayos, and he would learn them in the Beis HaMedrash. Kalamazolos Mutarin. So we'll say, in general, again, we will discuss what this means. All the mazalos, if you have any of the mazalos, so we'll say, so mazalos means like the sun, the moon, the stars, constellations, are mutar, chutz mi mazal chama ulevana, with the exception of the sun and the moon. I will say, we're going to have to figure out what exactly he's talking about. Rashi says over here, mutarim, lekamon mefarish my mutarim. We don't know what mutar for what. What are we referring to? V'chala pirtzufin mutarim. Similarly again, I will say, all images are mutar, chutz mi pirtzuf adam, with the exception of the image of a person. V'chala tsuros mutarim. Similarly, all the forms are mutar, chutz mi tsuras darkon, with the exception of the form of a dragon. Omer Mar, so let's analyze this. All of the mazalos are mutar, with the exception of the moon and the sun, or the sun and the moon, excuse me. So what are we talking about over here? If you're talking about somebody making one of these images, we'll say, is it permitted to make images of any of the other celestial bodies? But the pasuk says, lo sa'asun iti. Do not, I will say, literally, the rest of the pasuk is, Lo sasun iti elok elohei kesef velohei zav. Lo sasulokem, do not make, literally, I will say, with me, gods of silver, gods of gold, do not make for yourselves. And we darshan, Lo sasun kidimus shamashai hameshamshin lefonai bemoro. We will say, we darshan that to mean, do not make images of the celestial beings which exist with me in the heavens. So you see, Rav said that it is usher to make any kind of celestial item. Ela pshita b'motzei. Rather, you have to talk about, we're talking about a case of Rav said where what? That ultimately, again, a person is not making it, but rather, they're finding it. They're finding it. So I find the image of a celestial entity. So can I get hana from it or not? Which the Gemara seems to say, that if it's the sun and the moon, I can't, but if it's any of the other celestial bodies, I can. Uki disnan. Hamotzi kelim v'aleim tzuras chama tzuras levana tzuras darkom yolichim liyam amelach. They will say, and this is in accordance with the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? If I find the utensil, and on that utensil is the image of the sun, the image of the moon, the image of a dragon, I have to go out and throw it into the sea. It's only those images that will say, but yet we see by other images it appears that one would be permitted to get benefits from that object. But here's the problem. If we're talking about finding an image upon which one of these images, or finding a utensil upon which one of these images is engraved, Iba Motzi, Ema Mitzia. So we'll look at the second case of the Mishnah, or the second case of the Braisa, Kala Pirtzufos Mutarin. All of us say all images, a Pirtzuf literally means like the image of a face. All images are Mutar, Chutz mi Pirtzuf Adam. with the exception of both sides of the image of a human being. But if we're talking about where you found something with the image of a person on it, would it be aser? V'hotnan hamotzi kelim v'aleim tzuras chamotzuras levana tzuras darkin yodicham amelach. We learned in the Mishnah that if a person finds a utensil and on that utensil is the image of the sun, the image of the moon, or the image of the dragon, yodichin yamelach, throw it into the sea. Tzuras darkon in pirts of adam lo. It's only the image of a dragon which is problematic, but yet it seems to me that if you found the utensil with the image of a human being on it, it would be totally permitted. To which the Gemara says, "Ela pshita ba'osa." Rather, we have to be talking about a case where I am actually fashioning this utensil. Ukidraf hunabrei Rabbi Yoshua, and this would have to be in accordance with the position of Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yoshua. Rashi says over here, "Da'amar lekaman b'shmaitin kari be'lo sa'asun osi kidemusi." We'll get to this in tomorrow's daf in Yirtzeh Hashem. But 1 second, iba'osa. If we're talking about fashioning these images, Amos, if I look at the end of the brayso, kolatzuros mutaros chutz mitzuras darkon. All images, Rabosai, are mutter, with the exception of the image of the dragon. And if we're talking about creating something with the image of the dragon, be aser. Yet the pasuk says the only thing, Rabosai, you can't make is what? Are images of celestial bodies. To which the Gemara says, top of Mem Gimel, Rabosai, hani in suras darkon lo. These would be aser, but the image of a dragon would be permitted. El pshita b'motze. Rather, I will say, you have to say, what are we talking about over here? Where I'm finding this item. Ukidisnan hamotzi kelim va'alehem suras chamo. And therefore, this, I will say, would fit into the Mishnah, which says that what? That if a person finds utensils, and upon the utensil, is the image of the sun, it must be thrown into the Yamel. So I will say, again, we'll stop over here for today. We're stopping mid-sugya a little bit, but understand, we're now getting into the fascinating discussion about images. What type of images are permitted? What type of images are prohibited? And now what we've begun to do is to draw the distinction between things that you find versus things that you make. When you create something, again, there might be certain prohibitions upon creating certain things, but if you were to find potentially those same things, those prohibitions may or may not be the same. The only thing we know right now definitively is that if you find utensils, ultimately, again, with the sun, the moon, or dragons on it, then one has to rid themselves of those particular items. The only machlokas we have with that is the qualification of Shimon Gamliel, who says that's only if you find it on a utensil, which is significant. But if it's found on a utensil, which is insignificant, then by definition, one need not be choshesh, that is a form of avodah zarah, and apparently we'll be permitted to use this. So we'll stop up today. We'll pick up the Gimel HaDalet tomorrow.